It's good to see you here. Let's lift our hands towards heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are a miracle worker. This morning, I pray we would all just let the way maker through. Let him do what only he can do. Holy Spirit of God, we pray. Challenge us this morning. Bring comfort where there's a grieving, sorrowful hearts. Bring peace when there's anxiety and fear. Bring comfort. Bring hope. Lord, we thank you that your word challenges us and changes us always. And so we just honor you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give someone a high five or a, I don't know, just a hi. How you doing? It's good to be here. I was in the 9 a.m. service, and it's a while since I've been to Norfolk campus, and I'm just so proud of our darling daughter Alyssa and her husband Jared, who are your campus pastors. Are they just doing phenomenal? Give it up for them. And Jared's actually on a trip with Jax and Steve, and they're, is it four-wheeling or side-by-side? Side-by-side. So let's pray that they come back safe. And poor Jax was worried because he was like, I know we're going kind of near the Grand Canyon. It's a big hole. And we're like, you're going to be fine, buddy. You're going to be fine. You know, and Steve, because Steve's like, this is what men do. It's what men do. I don't think Jax was convinced. At 8, you're kind of not, you know. But anyway, they're off having a great time, which is awesome. Got to enjoy life, right? Life is full of adventure. Christian life is not meant to be boring. So take the bull by the horns, so to speak. And although hopefully you won't in reality do that. Have you ever seen those? I haven't seen it for a while, but in Australia, they used to televise that there's a day a year in Spain they let all these bulls out. Have you ever seen that? The run of the bulls. And people run in front of the bulls to try and, I'm like, why? Why would you do that? Because if they get you, it's all over, baby, right? Which brings us into the series that we are doing this month, why? The million-dollar question, why? And there's a lot of questions in life. In fact, I don't think it matters if you have been a believer for a short amount of time, a Christ follower for a short amount of time, or a long, decades-long amount of time. There are seasons in all of our life where we throw our hands up and go, why? Like, why? Like, life can come at us and feel so overwhelming. Things can happen left field that we didn't anticipate. I don't know if any of you have, probably some of you have raised kids or been around kids. There's nothing worse than that incessant question, why, from a kid, right? It's like, you know, and I don't know if you're like me, but I used to be like, because there's no answer. Why? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to wear that? Why can't I go with my friends? Why? 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 Because I'm your parent and I said so. Sometimes you just want to, bottom line, it just is what it is. I was thinking about God in heaven. There's about 8 billion people on the planet. And at various times, if we're all going, why God? Why? Why? I was saying in our first service, it's amazing that we're all still here. Because I have a couple kids and I was ready to go, I'm going to throw you out the window if you ask why one more time. Imagine 8 billion people. Why God? Why? And yet God in his goodness and kindness is attentive and loving. I love, there's a beautiful scripture and in the Message translation it says, God is kind, but he's not soft. Don't you love that? Because it's like, oh God, you're so kind and you love me. Yeah, but I'm not soft. I'm a parent when I need to be. I'm a father when I need to be. And I love that about him. The truth is, we're all going to have questions of why. Some for good reasons. Like, why did I end up with this? This is amazing. But typically, most often is why? Why did this have to happen this way? When I prayed and I asked God, why have I got this horrible health diagnosis? Why have I got a child that's going down this road when I have done everything I know to do? Why did this marriage end in divorce? Why did I have to grow up with this family that's just so much dysfunction? Why, God, why? Truth is, there are a lot of questions that cannot be answered. You know, I went to Africa years ago to Watoto. I mean, these kids in the orphanages, in the villages, and they're not an orphanage. I mean, it's just unbelievable what they've done. They built these homes. They have a mom who's lost a husband, and she might have a couple kids, and she becomes the house mom, and they put in six more kids. So if she's got two kids, they bring it up to eight, and she becomes their mom, and these are kids that have lost both parents. And, you know, years ago, there was this horrible civil war, and a lot of these people were killed. A number of them contracted HIV and were dying. But I'm telling you, there was something about the spirit of these kids. Like, there was a joy that was unbelievable as they were being taught the word of God, as they were being taken to church every week. I remember coming back to the States. Oops. Oh, that was scary. And thinking to myself, you know what, Lord? I got to live here. I got to do life here. I haven't seen what these kids have seen, and yet there is a joy that they have that sometimes we let the challenges of the world whatever steal our joy. It's like, wow, I want that joy that they have. None of them were saying, well, why me? Why did I have to be born? None of them. They were just excited about what God could do in their lives. It was very, very challenging. A couple of years ago, too, our youngest son, Sam, many of you would know Sam. He is married to beautiful Laurie. They had two little boys. Well, they have a little girl now as well. But a couple of years ago, almost 3 years ago, Sam's sister and also Laurie's older sister, at the age of 34, unexpectedly and tragically died of a seizure. It's like, why? How could this happen? About 13 months after that, Sam and Laurie got pregnant with a baby, didn't know if it was a boy or a girl, went to the doctor for a 14-week visit, and the doctor couldn't find a heartbeat. And so they had to go to the hospital and deliver a little 14-weeker and found out that this little baby was a girl. Why, God? Why? They've since gone on and had another baby this past April that was a baby girl. But it's like, God, why do they have to walk through these layers of grief? Do you ever feel like that sometimes, that life comes at you so much and you're like, what is going on? So I just wanted to chat to us about a few things about the question why. Is that okay? First thing is, often our why comes out of pain, right? We face that divorce. We face that breakup of relationship. We face that health diagnosis that can be terminal. We face a child that is just going through it and we're just, Lord, why? Maybe it's a college that we'd hoped and dreamed we'd get accepted to and we didn't. Maybe it's a business that we started and it was going well and then all of a sudden it's all over. Maybe it's a job or career path that we had planned in our head and it just doesn't end up the way we'd hoped. Why? Years ago when I delivered our third baby, I was in the hospital. You know, you deliver the baby in labor and delivery, and then they take you to your room. And I was in the room, and it was the changeover of the nurse's shift. And so they came into the room, and they were explaining, okay, what's gone on and why this patient's here. And one of the nurses who was there was like, oh, I don't know why y'all keep having these babies. I mean, they just all grow up and break your heart. My 17-year-old son's just moved out, broken my heart. I remember sitting in the hospital bed thinking, why? Why are you in here raining on our parade? We've got these new babies. We're so excited. Why? But that's the challenge, isn't it, when we allow the why to take root in our heart. And so cynicism happens, resentment happens, and bitterness. So that you can't even be excited for someone else going through a great time in your life. Because the truth is, that little baby boy grew up and has given me nothing but joy. And I'm sorry that your 17-year-old son broke your heart, but now he would be 47. And I'm hopeful, because I've thought about this woman from time to time, I'm hopeful that maybe the story has changed for her. I'm like, don't do labor and delivery. Don't be on the postpartum ward or whatever they call it and be raining on everybody's parade because of your pain. Don't do that. Don't do that. Lord, help us. Help us resist the urge to be mad at the world because of our why. A question that could never, ever be answered. But Lord, may we lean into you. I think about the Bible story of Abraham and Sarah. I remember Abraham and Sarah in Genesis. The Bible says that God said to Abraham, come out here, come out of your tent, look up at the stars in the sky. As many as you see, I'm going to give you nations, generations. And I'm sure he was like, okay, because there was one problem. He and his wife couldn't have children. So can you imagine, Abraham's probably thinking, why are you telling me this? I have no kids. And so his wife, Sarah, goes, okay, well, maybe we have to help God out. Have you ever thought about that? See, God, this is how I'd like my life to go, so maybe I need to give you a hand, right? We all think that. Our humanness, our humanity, whatever you want to call it, kicks in, right? And so Sarah goes, okay, Abraham, go and sleep with my maidservant. You can have a child with her. That'll be where all the generations are going to come. I mean, that is like 101 disaster recipe, right? Like you can all from the outside looking in. But again, they love God and they're trying to figure this life out. Like all of us, we love God. And sometimes it's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Grab her. Maybe God's promise will come through her. All the while God's going, are you just trusting me? And so the Bible talks about Sarah. At one point, angels come to visit Abraham. Say, actually, you got it wrong, buddy. Man, I'm going to come back next year. Sarah's going to have a son. Now, Sarah was 90. Abraham was 100. Put it in today's perspective. That'd be like a 60-year-old woman and a 70-year-old man. A 60-year-old woman? I mean, that'd be me. Someone coming to me and saying, hey, in a year, you're going to have a baby boy. I'd be like, that's impossible. And Sarah, because of the pain that she has lived with, she's probably thinking, why didn't you come 30 or 40 years before this? God, why didn't you show up then? But God says, oh man, there's going to be people in 2023 who are going to read the story of what I did in your life. It's going to give them hope. So that maybe when they begin to ask their why, they will turn to this and go, God, only you. You are the answer to our prayer. The Bible says, though, that Sarah overheard, and it says, the Bible says she laughed to herself. It wasn't a, oh, that's lovely. It was like, ugh. Cynicism, sarcasm, bitter. And then God called her on it. Sarah, you laughed. She said, no, I didn't. No. Yeah, you did. I heard you laugh. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Did you hear that, church? That God causes everything. Not a couple things, one thing, a few things. Everything, God is working good on your behalf. Just don't let yourself get in the way, right? Sometimes we get in the way. Second thing is our why comes out of often confusion. Confusion because in our mind, we've done everything we know to do, and so God should just do the rest. But that's not how God works. See, when I accepted Christ, I yielded everything about my life to him. Everything. So that means that I can't call God, you know, God, I've done this, this, and this for you, so I just bow to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and go, Lord, you have my heart. You have my heart. But I understand there's times when we have prayed and we've done everything. And the Bible says, after having done everything, then stand. Stand in your faith. And don't let confusion or conforming to the world come into your heart. Stand. And if you're having a hard time standing, get other believers to stand with you. And if they need to carry you, let them carry you. But don't let confusion take you out of what God has called you to do or what or the plan he has for your life. You know, years ago, I worked for the courthouse. I was in the justice system in Sydney. And I worked for what we would call local courts. It'd be like the Virginia Beach Courthouse. And obviously, there's a lot of attorney's offices around the courthouse, which is what you find in Virginia Beach or Norfolk or... because you got a lot of court. In fact, I went to a court here. I forget what it was, which court it was, but I became an American citizen about 15 years ago, and I had to go to the court. Well, it's pretty awesome, actually, experience. But anyway, I applied for a job at an attorney's office. It was a good job. It was like a promotion, but outside of the court system. Better hours, better pay, all the things that you would tick the box and say, yeah, baby, that's what I want. That's what I want. So I had got the job, handed in my resignation. This is back in the day, guys, where you didn't email. I know for most of you, you're going to be like, no email? That's right. Back in the dark ages, there was no email. You would type up. No. Okay, this is going to age me terribly. You would type it up with sometimes a manual type. It wasn't even plug-in typewriter. Yeah, you guys have probably never even seen anything like it in your life. But I typed up my resignation and handed it in to my boss. Great. New job, exciting, more pay, everything you want. Except guess what? No peace. No peace. I've handed in my resignation. I've accepted the new job. Zero peace. So I'm first night, can't sleep. And I'm just praying, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. Second night, no peace. Third night, no peace. Finally, I said, Steve, we've got to drive me past the new job. It must be something there. We just got to pray. I don't know. So he drives me past. And, you know, there were a few things there that probably weren't not great entities. But still, there was no reason why. It's like, I don't know. Until I finally had to come face to face with the fact that I have no peace. So God, the Holy Spirit, is the umpire of my heart. He's blowing the whistle and saying, you're out of bounds. This is not the path you're supposed to take. And I'm like, man, and guess what? I wanted to fight it. Everything in me was like, no, I want this job. And the more I fought it and wrestled with it, the more I lost my peace. When finally I said, Steve, you know what? I can't take the job. I don't know why I can't take. Why can't I take this job? Why? So I went back to work the next day. It'd probably been 5 days since I'd handed in my resignation. I asked my boss if I could see him for a minute. I went into his office and sat down, said, you know, I've never done this before, but I just don't believe I'm supposed to take that job, and I'm just wondering if I could have my job back. He opened his drawer. His desk, pulled out my resignation, tore it up. Said I was hoping that would happen. Listen, I, to this day, and actually one of the other girls in our office took the job. And so I'd see her because she'd come up to the courthouse and she loved the job. And it was amazing. I just couldn't take it. Now, I don't know to this day why I couldn't take the job. I ended up getting a promotion in the court system. But I can't tell you that that's why I couldn't get the job. Maybe God was testing my heart and my obedience. I don't know. There's no answer to my why. I just know one thing. There's nothing like peace in your heart. It don't matter what you're being offered. I promise you, if you have no peace in your heart, it's not worth it. And all I know is peace flooded my heart, and it was a way better way to live. Proverbs 16:9 says this: we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Number three, sometimes our why comes out of bad decisions that we make. How many of you know owning your stuff is really hard? Like when you come face to face with a decision you've made that's not been good, how many times do you want to blame someone else? Well, they told me, or so-and-so said, or I didn't want to make the decision, it was put on me. No, 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 you made the decision. Whether it's to go back to a relationship that you know is toxic, whether it's continual spending on a credit card, and you're like, well, maybe in 5 years I'll have paid it off, I'll just, this one more little, those decisions add up, add up, add up. Maybe it's you just your mouth, you shoot off your, you're like, okay, this time when my friend says that, I'm not going to barrage her with what I think. And every time you say things you know you shouldn't say. You know, years ago, this is a kind of a funny example, but it kind of illustrates that we make the decisions sometimes that get us in deep yogurt or whatever you want to call it. A number of years ago, we were holidaying in the Keys, which is always the will of God, right? Florida Keys. Oh, it just feels good right now on a rainy Sunday, doesn't it? Let's just imagine we're in the Keys, sunny, there's a boat there, water. We had just gone to breakfast as a family. The kids were little. Just gone to breakfast as a family, and I ordered, which I have never had since, and when I tell you the story, you'll understand why. I'd ordered waffles, banana walnut waffles. So it came with the waffle, ice cream, syrup, sautéed banana, some walnuts sprinkled on top. Delicious, delicious. So we finish breakfast, we step out, and we go across the road, and they've got a catamaran that's just going out for a reef tour, you know, snorkeling on the reef. And I'm like, Steve's like, yeah, let's do that with the kids. And I'm like, oh, I just ate, and I am a little prone to seasickness, so, you know, it's probably not a good idea. The people are like, I promise you, it's an hour straight out, it's very flat today, you're going to be fine. So I get on the boat, and actually an hour out, and I'm like, I feel great, awesome. Until I got in the water. So I'm in the water and we all get the life vest, the flippers, the snorkel. We're snorkeling around 30 minutes into it. So you get an hour to snorkel. You have an area to snorkel with. All the people off the boat are. And then I start feeling sick. And it was really choppy in the water. And I kept swallowing. And the water was really salty. And so I'm like, Steve, come over here. I don't feel good. And I'm in the water paddling. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I feel like I'm going to throw up. He's like, in the water? I'm like, yeah, I just. And then it came. My banana walnut pot waffle fed the reef. What I failed to realize or forgot is that little fish, tropical beautiful fish, have these little antenna when anything ends up in the water, right? Like food, throw up, whatever. And so it felt like the entire reef of fish were like, whoop, right here. I mean, literally, they were hitting me on the face, trying to, I'm not even kidding. The reef of fish were coming for the chum, which is what the fishermen would call it. And so Steve is like, this is awesome, because he's got the waterproof camera, and he's taking pictures, and I'm like, I want to die right now. I feel so sick. If anyone's been seasick or motion sick, you know what it feels like. So anyway, he's like, kids, come over here. Look at the fish. You're going to see the fish. Like here we were snorkeling and they were 20 yards away. Now they're literally, like they were just jumping in front of me. It's the worst experience of my life. I can't even tell you. And I've never eaten a waffle with ice cream, syrup and bananas and walnut ever again. Never touch one, ever. But anyway, 5 minutes later, I'm like, Steve, I feel sick again. And again, the same thing. Kids, come on, look at these, taking pictures of the. And I feel like I want to die. So I go back over to the boat, and I'm out. Like, I'm on the boat, it's hot, and I'm just like, I can't even move. We get back to shore, and there's a Burger King, and all I can think about is I need air conditioning because I just feel awful. Make it to the Burger King upstairs. They had those plastic mold kind of benchy seats, and I'm just lying in Burger King. I don't even care. I don't care who walks in here. I don't care who sees me. I feel like I'm going. Anyone who's been that sick, most seasick. The truth is, though, I got there because I made the decision to be there. So I can blame Steve if I want, but the truth is, I know I get seasick. So why would I think that this time would be any different? And I tell you that because why do I always end up in a bad relationship, honey? It's because you keep going back to the same kind of person. This is what the Bible says, Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So when you allow the Holy Spirit to work on your heart, like, why do I always end up in this scenario all the time? Chances are there's a conforming to a pattern of the world that has to be transformed. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your heart, He changes it completely. You're a different person. You think differently. You act with the mind of Christ. But if you keep going back and settling for a certain way of life, conforming to that pattern, rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to transform you. Now, is it easy? No. That's why following Christ is not, it's a daily thing. The Bible talks about working out our salvation every single day. It's not like we get saved in a day and boom, everything is done. No. I've been a believer for 45 years. I'm still being transformed. Because I watch the news too much or I listen to the wrong kind of thing. Man, I can start conforming to the pattern of the world. But when I allow the Holy Spirit, how do I do that? I meditate on His Word. I come into church and I give Him my best worship because He is first place in my life. I'm in community group and I get those believers to pray with me and to weigh in with their words of wisdom. So many times we just think, well, I can figure this out on my own. I promise you, none of us can do this on our own. We need Jesus and we need a body of believers to get us where we need to be. That's why Jesus is building the church. And He builds us together. He's the chief cornerstone building us together. But a couple of things I just want to add to that. Ask yourself the tough questions. If you're in a scenario that you feel like, why is this a pattern in my life? Let's ask the tough questions. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit. I promise you, 25 years ago, we moved our entire family from Sydney, Australia, to the United States. Why would we do that except God said? I promise you, the first couple of years were very hard. But I was walking on the words that I'd felt God spoke into my heart. I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. And then the Lord is leading me to the will of His will for my life, right? Now I look back and go, wow, Lord. It was like for our family, it was a hand that fit in a glove. Because I allowed His Holy Spirit to speak into my heart about it. Wasn't just a whim. Oh, let's just move to America. No, we sensed God say. And sometimes we think God's sending us here, sending us there, and it's nothing more than life has gotten hard. When life gets hard, we think it's bad. It mustn't be God. No, hard is hard. I was listening to the audio Bible this morning on the way here. You want to listen to hard. The Apostle Paul is saying, I've known what it's been to have no food, be starving. I don't want you all to be starving. And, you know, I've been so cold to the bone as he's followed God. But he didn't go, well, it's too hard. Guess this isn't the will of God. He's like, nope, this is what I'm made of. Amen. And church, that's what we're made of. We are made of making decisions that are Holy Spirit inspired. Lord, I'm not moving until I sense your word deep in my heart and the affirmation of wisdom from counsel. Otherwise, left to my own devices, I'm going to end up in chicken soup and it won't be good. All right, number four. Often our why comes out of our failure to be content. Well, why do they get that job? Why do they get that guy or that girl? Why? Why is it easier for them? Why is their life so much fun? You know, the truth is everybody's walking through something. The devil has this great way of whispering in your ear, it's only you that's going through this. No, absolutely not. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, he says this, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The other day I was listening to Dave Ramsey, hello, Financial Peace University, and a gentleman called in and he said, you know, we're in our late 40s, me and my wife, early 50s, and we just were a part of a lottery thing at my work, and they won, and my portion that I won was $22 million. Hello. That's kind of nice, right? $22 million. He said, my wife and I know, and one of my siblings. He said, we're not telling people because otherwise you'll have a line out your front door when people know you have money. We haven't told our kids. He said, you know what? We have two Toyota cars that we've just paid off. We're real happy with them. We're about to pay our house off. We don't want to move. We like that. And I'm just ringing for some advice for some investments, and we just want to be smart with how we handle the money because there's some great organizations we'd like to give to as well. And I could hear, I was watching the video, I was watching Dave Ramsey just marvel at this man, because most of us who got $22 million would be shouting it from the rooftops, hey, guess what? Or going on a med spending frenzy. And he said, I know that can happen, so I want to steward this money well. There's someone who's got knows the secret of being content. Yeah. Like, I'm good with where I'm at, and I want this money to be used well. Not many people can do that. But Paul said, I've learned, Lord, help us learn the secret of being content. Number five. Our why comes out of fear, fear of what's ahead, fear of the storms of life, fear of the world we live in. You watch the news. It's interesting. I was talking to a lovely lady this morning who's from Maui, and I was just asking her how, you know, how the fires affected Maui and how they're doing. And she goes, you know what? We're getting there. It's hard. It's been tough. She goes, what's hard is being on the mainland and hearing the news reports which aren't reporting the truth. And she said that people are displaced, but just the reports that were coming about kids being whatever, that's just totally false. It's and you realize that the media is stirring up a piranha feeding thing, and we're getting eaten alive with media that isn't giving the true narrative. And I just thought it just creates a fear, right? Creates a fear. Mark 4 says this, but soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. So, okay, let's just look at this a little bit. We've got a big boat and there's waves breaking over the boat. And we're not talking a cruise liner here, guys, okay? This is a few thousand years ago. These are decent sized boats. But if there's waves coming in and it's filling up with water, most people are going to be awake and know what's going on, right? But the Bible says that Jesus is sleeping at the back and he's got his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Now, note to self, a number of these men were fishermen, so they're used to being out in rough seas, but they're even freaking out. And where's Jesus? Sleeping in the boat. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Instead of us posing a question to God, he's like, I'm going to give it right back to you. Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? All the time you have walked with me, do you still have no faith? The disciples were terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Friend, listen to me. I said to Steve when we started having grandkids, Steve, look at the world our grandkids are coming into. And he said to me, guess what? God sends the right people for the right time. They are equipped to take on and handle the world that they are coming into. And if you look at history, listen, Everybody wants to tell you the world is so bad. It's been bad for a very long time. And guess what? You and I are here to bring the gospel message to people that there is a God. But anyway, back to our story. I just tell you that because everybody wants to be, oh my God, whatever. Okay. Some of you are facing storms and it's overwhelming. It's like the waves. I don't know if you've ever been caught in a torrential, like out in the surf, and the waves, when they hit you. I grew up in Sydney. I've been barreled by a wave. And I tell you, this is what it feels. Your body's literally going like that, and you're like, I don't think I'm going to get up to the surface. For some of us, we're in that right now. It feels like this storm is coming at us, and it's continual, knock after knock after knock. Could be health. Could be losing loved ones. Could be kids, family, whatever, business. It could be a number of things. And you feel like, Lord, where are you, and why am I going through this? And I want to tell you something right now. Jesus is in your boat and he's sleeping. Because guess what? He's got you. Some of you are like, you're asleep and you don't care. No. Where is your faith? You have more faith in the storm and the circumstances and the chaos than you do in the fact that I'm with you and I promise I'd never leave you. I'd never leave you. So while you think I'm sleeping, yeah, I'm taking a little nap. But guess what? I'm with you in the storm. And friend, I want to remind you today, you could be facing fear. The fear could have a hold of your life, anxiety. Jesus is in your boat. Jesus is in your boat. Lastly, I'm going to finish in a few minutes. I want you to change your question, your why question, to a statement. Jesus, my hope is in you. And friend, I want you to start to declare today, like I have had to declare over my life many times. Lord, I need you. I cannot do this without you. I like to think I can, but I can't. I need you. I love you. You have first place in my life. Lord, my hope is in you. My trust is in you. A couple of years ago, my grandmother turned 100. Year and a half ago. Prior to that, COVID happened and my nan got moved to an assisted living area. She was 99 and she got moved into an assisted living. Thank you, guys. You guys are rock stars too, by the way. Praise and worship, phenomenal. She got moved to an assisted living. And then COVID happened. And I remember thinking, Lord, I'd just love to see my nan for her 100th birthday. First of all, I'm like, well, could you keep her alive till then, you know? Because at 90s, when you get to your 90s, you're done well, right? But I remember just praying this, Lord, I want to see my nan. But I trust you. I trust you with my life. And so that was it. I just kept it simple. I didn't dwell on it. I didn't think about it. But guess what? In April 2022, I ended up going to see my nan. Turned 100. I ended up going this year. She turned 101. God willing, she might hit 102. But you know what's so wonderful about this? It's having the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when it comes to your why. Because had she not lived, I promise you, there wouldn't have been any, well, why, God? I just went, Lord, I trust you. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You all know the story. They get thrown into the fire because of, you know, they won't bow to a god in the culture. And this is what they say. Our God could deliver us. He could rescue us from this fire. But even if he doesn't, he's still God. So no, we're not going to bow to your God. So they get thrown into this fire that's way hotter. The Bible says that the soldiers that threw them in were the strongest men in Babylon at the time. Well, guess what? They all died throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can you imagine that? Go figure. Because that's what God could do. Turn your why into hope and trust and faith. God, I am trusting you with this in my life. I am hopeful of this, but regardless, you're still the Lord of my life. You still are. You always have been, and you always will be. I want to pray for some people today. I told you about Sam beginning, and they now have a baby girl. But I remember after they walked through the loss of her sister and then the loss of a baby, every loss is hard, right? But when it comes closer, it just can feel like a lot. But he said, Mom, I just would go walking every day. And you know, I feel closer to God than I've ever felt. And friend, that's what I want to say to you. That in the midst of your why and the things that you're walking through, spend time with the Lord. Draw near to Him because He's drawing near to you. This morning, I want to pray for some people. Maybe you just feel overwhelmed. Maybe there's a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of stuff going on in your workplace or in your family. I want to pray for believers now. Just let the way maker through. Let Him do what only He can do. Leave Him asleep in the boat. Don't question Him. Lord, I know You're right here. And I know on Your perfect time, You will give the answers that are right for You. If that's you this morning, you want prayer, just lift your hand up. Let's close our eyes and just lift your hand up all across this auditorium. You need to let the way maker through. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Father, we just love You so much. Keep your hands up because it's like you're reaching out to the Lord. Lord, You see the hands. You see the beautiful faces and hearts. Lord, there's anxiety. There's fear. There's feelings of overwhelm. Maybe some are lifting their hands because they've made decisions they know they shouldn't. But Lord, thank You that You are our rescuer. Lord, that You are our healer, our deliverer. You are our miracle worker and You are our way maker. That Lord, You make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. And so, Father, today we just declare that our hope is in You, our trust is in You, our faith is in You. And we just say today, Lord, You are the Lord of our lives. Lord, You're the Lord of my life. That my life is in Your hands. And because of that, I can have full trust that You will do what needs to happen to see me fulfill the plans of God on my life. Holy Spirit, bring comfort. Holy Spirit, bring peace. But Holy Spirit also brings strength and courage where it needs to be. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You know what, friend? Today, I just want to say to you, we don't all get it right at all. We don't. I've made mistakes, lots of them. But God in His goodness and kindness even just works through our humanity. And so right now, I want to pray for people. So those of you who lifted your hands, you can put your hands down. Thank you. But I want to pray for people this morning who do not know Jesus. Maybe you once did, but you know your heart is far from Him this morning. It's been hard. There's been stuff that's happened. You don't understand. This morning, I believe He's calling you home. Maybe there's those of you who've grown up in church, but you've never really known what it is to fully surrender your life. Friend, this morning, take that step. Fully surrender. Acknowledge Him as the Lord of your life, completely and totally. Live a life that's on purpose. And maybe for others, it's the first time you've ever been in a church or a couple few times and you've never made a decision to follow Christ. You've listened to what I've said and doesn't all make sense, but there's something about it that you sense, God, I want You. I remember at the age of 15 going, God, I want You. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you this morning, just lift your hand up and say, Sharon, could you pray for me? We're not going to embarrass you or make you stand up, but just lift your hand up and say, Sharon, could you pray for me? God bless you. I see you. Anyone else this morning? God bless you. I see you. I see you. Anyone else this morning? Say, Sharon, yep. Pray for me because I want to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Anyone else this morning? And we just want to pray for you. Let's just give it a moment. say, yep, I just want to give everything of my life to the Lord Jesus. Anyone else this morning as I look out, just give me a wave. Awesome. Well, church, let's pray this prayer together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me. And right now, I ask you, come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. Thank you for forgiving my sin. And thank you that today I walk out of here a Christ follower. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we congratulate those people who made that decision?